This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
I actually think that people that are younger now, they're going to laugh at us, dude. They're going to laugh at us and go, you told somebody what a genre was?
Right.
That's offensive.
Episode 443. With a guy named Phil Becker, somebody that I admire so much in, I won't even say just the broadcast space, the media space, in the creating content space. Follow him on Instagram, at Phil Becker. I was looking at his bio. I feel like what I say is like normal. Like I watch the guy and I'm like, man, if people just listen to him, they could learn a lot. If they were looking for a career in podcasting, radio, I know music executives watch what he has to say. But like his official thing is, he is the executive vice president of content at Alpha Media, one of the really big radio companies. As a matter of fact, it's like, I won't say a rival. It's not like Texas OU, but he doesn't work for our company. But even though he doesn't work for our company, he was one of the first people to ever put us on an affiliate that wasn't owned by our company, which then made other companies go, oh, that can happen? Like and I didn't even know Phil then, which is crazy. So he oversees content and programming for over 200 radio stations, super innovative, all those words, trailblazer, la, 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 even like social media influencing. He has worked all over the globe, worked with people in all different capacities, but I just wanted to talk with him and ask him a bunch of questions because I know we have so many people that listen to the show that are in music or social media or like that's their job, working at a label or radio. He has a podcast called Philosophy with Phil Becker. Philosophy, and it's very motivating. Sometimes I'll repost some of his stuff on Instagram. And we're doing this in two parts because in the first part, we were going to do 30 minutes and 30 minutes as one episode. I was going to interview Phil. He's going to interview me. And this is going up on his podcast too. I don't know if he wants to put this part up, but he's welcome to do that. But I ended up talking to him for like an hour. Could have done longer. And I know I made him late to something. Because I kept going, when's your heart out? And he's like, well, I was like, okay, good, not yet. But this is the first part where I'm talking with him. I hope you enjoy this. This is Phil Becker. Again, on Instagram, follow him, at Phil Becker. Here you go. This is the first time that I've done a podcast where I actually share it with somebody, and I thought that would be fun for us to do. So this is going to go on the Bobbycast feed, obviously, but also Phil has a podcast and Philosophy, right? How did you get that name, though? Is there other philosophies?
No, that's the crazy part. There was nothing. There was no one else with it. I mean, there's like...
Of all the Phils in the world, right? No one else had a philosophy.
There's Phil Knight and Phil Dunphy. I think those are the only...
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins.
He doesn't do a philosophy.
He does not. So
it'll be on both of the feeds. And what I proposed to Phil was, because I have a lot of things I'd like to talk to you about, that it feels way more comfortable talking about them in a setting where I'm free to ask whatever I want without you judging me as a human.
Okay.
Because it is a thing. I have friends that will come over and like really good friends. I would say some of my best friends, Brett Eldridge or Ben Rector or Jake Owen, like these are my close friends. When we're together, I'm not asking about
something that is granular in the professional world, because it's just not the time to do that because we live it. And it's a bit the same with you, where I'm like, oh, I got some stuff I really want to ask him, that when he shares, he knows other people are going to be listening, not just me.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to put this on his, and you can just look up Philosophy, right?
Yeah. So I have like a little logo, a little PB logo.
Yeah. It's crazy nobody else had that.
Right.
Now I want to go and steal it and copyright it so you can't have it anymore. So it's going to be on both. So the first half is going to be me talking and asking things of Phil, and then Phil's going to be asking me in the second half of this. I'd also like to start by saying that, and I've not said this about anybody else, even people that aren't music, because we'll bring in other creators or writers. If in my perfect world, I would work with you every day and you would run like all content strategy for me.
Oh, thank you.
Meaning you'd be there to consult and like be there for the radio show. You'd be there for strategy of digital media. Like that would be the perfect world for me, is to have you be here and do that. And I wouldn't say that if I didn't mean it, because I look to you as somebody who in many ways has a mindset like I do. Now I may be like, hey, let's work together and we burn it to the ground, but we would do it kind right. of understanding that sometimes you got to take risks. Sometimes you got to have extra vulnerability. Sometimes you have to ask people for help in areas that maybe you're not the best. But I just want my audience to know that's how I feel about you. So when I'm talking to you, that there is this tremendous amount of respect from me to you and what knowledge you have, and even what knowledge you admit you don't have.
Sure. Thank you.
So all that said, Phil was one of the first people to take my syndicated show on a station that wasn't the central company that runs my station, has my, and now, you know, that happens a decent amount, but you were one of the first ones to do that. Why?
You know, I think sometimes people make investments in people because it makes business sense, and I make investments in people because they're people. And so,
but was it bad business?
No, but I'm just saying, I'm saying like initially people go, you know, this fits our portfolio, or this fits what we do, this fits our model. And for me, I was like, we don't build radio stations for radio corporations. We build them for listeners. So if I put the listener first, you were the show. Whether you were with my company or another company, you were the best option, and I'm glad I did it.
And that was a much smaller, because you live in Portland now.
Yeah.
That was a much smaller town then.
Yeah, and this was over a decade ago. So yeah.
Was it that long?
Yeah, man. Maybe even longer, because I don't think my daughter would miss. Buddy, this might have been 15 years ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That was, because we're still on the air there too.
Are you? That's awesome.
Yeah, one of our biggest clients that I still, and I haven't raised a dollar of my rate regardless of anything that's happened from TV to the success of the radio show. I still do a furniture store there.
Do you really?
Yeah. And I do them every other, like I do more spots for them like once every 2 days.
That's very cool.
Because again, when you came and you put us on there and they came, I was like, I'm always going to stay and do the same to the people that came and jumped on early. So I do the Auburn. Hey, it's on Auburn, right off highway in Auburn. You know what I mean, Kevin?
Yeah. State Road 8 in Auburn.
What? It's State Road 8 in Auburn.
Yeah. State Road 8 in Auburn.
Yeah. Yep.
That was about 15 minutes from my house at the time. That's crazy to hear you say that.
So do you know what the client is, Kevin, from memory?
Vans Home Center.
Vans Home Center.
Vans Home Center.
That's right.
Okay.
So I still do Vans. And all, but I say that because I still do that because of you,
well,
who brought us on then, and they've always been loyal to us. Why are you in Nashville now?
So I'm here for the Country Radio Seminar, CRS.
You're not just a country guy, though.
No. In fact, I would say my whole skill set, that's probably my weakest. Mm-hmm. Just because sometimes I look at the format and I scratch my head and I go, why are we doing this? But no, not just a country guy. So I think I do 11 formats in 42 markets on 200 stations.
What have you been doing while you've been in Nashville? Is it going to shows and hanging out with other people? A lot of just networking? Or have you actually been learning things?
Yeah, it's funny. I had breakfast with someone today and he said, did you go to the Ryman for lunch? No, I gave somebody my wristband.
Because that's where all the big artists were just playing music.
Right. And then he was like, oh, did you go to Acoustic Alley? I said, no, I gave somebody my badge. And they said, did you go to this thing? And I said, I'm here not to go to concerts. I'm here to motivate people. I'm here to meet with my team. You know, we don't do as much travel as we used to. So I think I have 6 or 7 people for my team here. So spending time with them, seeing you, which I've said for years, yeah, I'll call you next time I'm there. And I kept my word and actually called you and said, I'm here. So I didn't do a lot of the concerts. I did attend some panels. People were talking about the industry, and you know, I like to raise my hand and try to make us think, you know. So
which means piss people off.
Yeah.
For the most part.
For the most.
Anything that's not the current wave, it makes people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like if I go into a panel or go into a seminar, and I see that the thinking has stopped, I'll raise my hand and I'll give like the counterpoint to hopefully keep the thinking going.
Which, from experience, if people are interpreting a way that you're not presenting it, it's here's somebody raising their hand because they think they're smarter than me and they think that the way that I'm doing it is not the right way and the way that I'm doing it is the way I'm comfortable doing it, so I feel threatened. And then it ends not comfortable in many ways. And an example that I'll bring up and something that made the national news was the first AI radio personality that you put on.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did that in Portland.
It was on, like, Good Morning. It was on, like, all the national shows.
Yeah, no, it was Good Morning America, NBC Nightly News, truly went, you know, globally viral. And I'll tell you something interesting about that was it's been so long since terrestrial radio was in the general conversation that people didn't know what to do once we had it.
You're right.
They were like, whoa, it's everywhere, right? And a year ago, we did that about a year ago, it was not wasn't popular yet. People weren't comfortable with it yet. The temperature in the room has changed, though. In fact, at a lot of this conference, people were saying to me, is AI Ashley here? I'd like to meet her. And I thought to myself, a year ago, you were dragging me in the comments and going crazy and pitchforks at the gate, and now you want to meet her because you want the picture. I want a picture with AI Ashley. I'm like, wow, it's changing. So that's positive.
Explain how someone could meet AI Ashley and actually what you did, because it was based off a person.
Correct.
Yeah. And who I reached out to and was like, hey, I was just like, I don't know her, but I was like, hey, I know that people are not nice to you right now because what you're a part of is new and innovative, and it might work, it might not. Who cares? That's not the point of it. The point of it is something is new, and something new happens, people feel threatened because they're not doing the new.
Right.
And I hope she took that as encouraging and just to let the moment pass, because as you're saying now, it has passed and people have shifted a bit on it. Why, how, and how's it going with it now?
Yeah, so why? Because if not us, who? Like, really think about that for a second. If not you, if not me, if not those people, who? We're in the terrestrial space. We're in a legacy where people are leaving the dinner and we're letting them order our food. Why? So we've got to do it. So the why is because somebody needs to. The how is all kinds of technologies. So, you know, there's a ton of voice cloning technologies out there, but it's bigger than being able to clone a voice. It's about teaching the AI to be Ashley. What is Ashley's opinion on this? What is her personality?
How would you teach sensibilities?
So that's, I'm glad you asked that. So it's weird because you go into the software and you go like, I'm going to make these up. These aren't Ashley's attributes. But like, if it was like conservative, pessimistic, reserved, shy and joyful, whatever they are, the software will generate a piece of content in Ashley's voice with those attributes, and that's not there yet. So like, you have the files get generated and you got to listen to it as Ashley gets the chance to do so and go, is that real? Like, would I really say that? Would I not? But there's one key thing that I want to make sure that we point out, and that is I've always disclosed that it's AI. Her name is AI Ashley.
Correct. It's not like as a deep fake.
No.
where you're trying to trick me that Tom Cruise is selling me Oreos.
Right.
Not true. It's not Tom Cruise's face. They've done that. They've manipulated it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Ashley's a real person, and it's her real voice. And there are instances where we use her as her, and then there's instances where we use AI Ashley, and we just tell the audience. And you know, I think what the audience deserves and wants is just you to just tell them. You know, we as in the terrestrial radio space, I said this to someone the other day, we're okay using voice actors for prank phone calls. We're okay sending roses to people that aren't in real relationships. But I crossed the line because I cloned one of our employees and pay her for it?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Because you were the first one to do it.
First one through the wall always gets bloodied.
It's funny because I would, and I have kind of stopped because the pushback I would get from the industry, and I wasn't doing it to piss people off, but I would talk about the, and it's funny you bring that up, the prank phone calls that are not real.
Right.
Because legally, in most places, you can't do it.
Right.
And it's also not even worth the risk of a lawsuit if someone's been sued multiple times for stupid, for stupid things on my part.
Yeah.
And yeah, the roses, fake. Right. All fake. And I would go on the air and I would say, I would love to do these segments because I think they're compelling. But as soon as it got out that it was fake, and now it can spread so quickly and easily.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to trust any other bit that I do ever.
Great point.
It's the same thing with the commercials. If I came out and did whiskey, they'd be like, wait, I know he doesn't drink whiskey. He doesn't drink. So he's trying to say he drinks. So then they wouldn't trust any other commercial that I was doing. And there's a lot of short term that I don't get to gain when I bet on hopefully long-term gain of my listeners, whether it be radio or podcast or digital media, that, yeah, I am going to give up a few thousand, a few 800 here. But I think if I lose them because I'm trying to gain that short-term, I'll never get them back.
That's right.
And I'm starting to chop my legs out from underneath me. But I would say the same thing with AI Ashley in a way. And the thing is, people generally don't care, but they only care if they find out that you're lying to them about something they don't care about, because then all of a sudden they care.
That's right.
And I did find that when you were saying, this is AI, that people were just like, oh, cool. Not industry, listeners.
Right. See, you always hit on the things that people overlook. No listeners were upset.
Right.
No clients were upset. The brand didn't lose followers. There was no backlash. It was... That I came in and I brought a technology into a business that doesn't always lead with technology. And so, you know, I just said, well, if we have no ratings decline, which we don't, if we have no digital audience decline, in fact, that audience is up. If our clients don't feel they don't want to be a part of it, what's the problem?
So let me counterpoint that.
Sure.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short sleeve, moisture wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
Well, the problem is somebody human could be working that spot. Mm-hmm. And it's not. So there's somebody that's doesn't have a job. Mm-hmm. Or it's creating a space to create other places where somebody doesn't have a job. What would you say to that?
Great question. Well, first, she still works there. And I think that AI doesn't replace A players. I think it replaces C players, D players. And shouldn't we be doing that anyway? If somebody's not the best person for a position, then come in and be great. The other thing, too, is there's not a lot of roles left in a terrestrial radio station. Like, when you walk around your affiliates, it doesn't feel like it probably felt 15 years ago.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And if the roles are that they have to do nine things.
They have to do nine things.
Yeah.
So if I can give somebody the chance to go do eight other things, then I should do that. So I actually look at it as a way to insulate people's jobs, not to eliminate them. And it's also going to create new jobs. Like, there's going to be prompt writing degrees. That's going to be a thing.
That's crazy to think about.
Right? Going to be a thing.
Like the greatest prompt writer in the state.
Yeah. That's going to be a thing, yeah. You know? And AI audio engineering is going to be a thing. So there's going to be new businesses and new jobs out of it. So I actually, you know, I don't think it is the great replacer that everybody thinks it is. And let's call it like it is. The radio business has never had a problem firing people.
Absolutely right.
And so this isn't going to be the thing.
And, you know, I think you hit on something too that I feel, because I went through it in a different way 10 years ago, but D, C players, we're not saying kill them. We're saying get better or prove that you can be a B or A, because you can.
You can.
You absolutely can. And maybe it's not in the exact way that you think that you're going. Listen, my career has pivoted hard two or three times in ways that I really wasn't like, I did not think I would even be in Nashville.
Sure.
But, you know, if you're a C player, and I don't mean you're not good or talented. I mean, maybe you just haven't made the right strategic decisions yet or taken the right risks. Maybe that pushes you to actually have to commit to a slightly different strategy that's going to get you ahead or leave you behind. And I think you have to survive.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Sometimes I just want to ask you to hear what your answer is.
Sure.
Voice tracking was a thing that I was 21, 22, and I was doing nights. And they said, hey, you should voice track these other stations. And the technology was still pretty new. Mm-hmm. Now, what voice tracking would be to those listening, it is I would sit in Austin and I would just record night shows all over the country. I was doing nights in Austin, Texas, and I did the show, and they'd say, hey, would you do a night show in New Orleans? Yeah, sure. Take me 15 minutes. I'd use a lot of the audio that I was using in Austin from the night before. I'd do it before my show that night. And then I started to be one of the guys that voice tracked more stations than most other folks. But people were upset at me because I was taking jobs. Now, I didn't invent voice tracking.
I didn't invent
AI.
Right?
Absolutely not. But the voice tracking was going to be used at some point. And if somebody's going to get hired and need to be doing that job at a level, it's me. And other people will be upset at me for taking the jobs, but I just remember saying, if they came to you, wouldn't you take the job? And wouldn't you, because I would try to find new ways to get new affiliates and strategic ways. And it was, well, look at all the jobs that you're killing. Those jobs wouldn't be there anyway. They're trying to find a way to replace revenue they're missing,
right,
by putting the best product on for the cheapest, which is not just radio, which is every kind of business.
Yeah.
You know, our folks get upset because they know radio, they think they know radio, but every organization, every business is trying to get the most for the least. That's how they get their bottom line,
right,
up.
Yeah.
And so that was, and then it was syndication for me.
Mm-hmm.
When we launched, the first year and a half was hell. Not because I came to Nashville, because I had all my friends, right, you know, which was a whole other thing. But they took off like 25, 30 shows, which they were going to take off anyway. There just hadn't been a national show that they had felt comfortable with. We went to all these cities, and it was miserable because it was attacked from all angles, from Little Rock, where I was from, where they took off the legendary morning guy that I listened to.
Yeah.
But again, they were going to do it eventually. They were looking for a way to do it. And I was the bad guy because I was the one that figured out a way to do it. But now it's so normal. Now a syndicated, we'll say syndicated radio show and a influencer, they don't live in your town.
Right.
The podcast that you listen to, the content, they don't. Now, I think a local part of radio is awesome. It just the same way as we have to need local news. Mm-hmm. But to be beat up for a show that isn't local, that just doesn't feel like it's as much of a thing either now. Because now it's just about what can you deliver? What content can you deliver? And how can you be compelling doing it? So I would just feel for you, but in a way of like, I was also proud that you were doing it because also it felt good to me because you were suffering from it like I'd suffered many times. I was like, trauma bonding.
Not alone here.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought the AI thing was brilliant and you were out in front with it and you were just taking shots, but you knew eventually, not only would the shots die down, that you would be the guy that did it first.
Right.
And there's real, like, you own that territory.
Yeah, it's strange. It's
your bosses, they care. What they think about it?
They're great.
Yeah,
they were great. You know, they preach to me. They're like, be bold, take risks, do things. And I reminded everybody, I'm doing this with someone who works here.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that it was earned media, like that. You know, and it was, you know, you're we went early, we got it right. I told my team, I said, look, you're going to have days where you feel a certain way, but this will age well.
Did it ever go wrong? Like she was like, hey, it's AI Ashley. Butthole. Here's a song. Anything like that ever happen?
Yeah, that happens. Yeah. Yeah. So like she'll say, she'll stretch out words and it'll stutter. And that's why everything sits in the queue and you have to preview it. And, you know, no different than what we're doing anyway. Like it's still being touched, it's still being looked at. But yeah, there's times where there's certain words, and anyone who's ever played with ChatGPT will see this too. There are certain words that it loves to say. So like delve. We're gonna delve into this.
It has crutch words like I do.
It has crutch words, buddy. It has crutch words. AI has crutch words. So yeah, it does that, and you got to go. Yeah, you said deep dive 74 times this week. Let's dial that back.
Can you do accents?
You can do accents, and you can change languages. So like we could take this podcast right now, and I could make you entirely speaking Russian while I'm in it would work. So
we should blow this thing up in Russia, except it'd be beeped and censored for like 8 seconds of it only. Yeah. You will sometimes talk to on your social media. Let's just say country radio, for example. And I saw you talking about Beyonce and your thoughts. And now it's kind of peer pressure people into, okay, we'll give it a shot. But it wasn't like that at first. No. God dang, it was tough. Your thoughts whenever the Super Bowl happened and hey, Beyonce's got a country record. What did you say that night, the next morning on your socials?
Oh, gosh. I think it was my LinkedIn where I wrote just some feelings about it. And then put it on social, and then turned it into a podcast. Actually, I just took the script from LinkedIn and turned it into the podcast. But basically what I said was, we have one of the biggest artists in the world making an announcement on the biggest televised event of all time. She's creating an art. Let's not let anything else get in the way of someone exposing their art. You know, and let's not sit there and categorize things and say, this isn't country. Why isn't it country? Because she's married to Jay-Z? Because she just did the Renaissance tour and it wasn't country songs? It is a country song. And so it was just a conversation about, in historically, how I sort of feel like country radio's whiffed. They miss the obvious sometimes. And I just wanted them to do better.
Why do you think that is?
I think that some of it is we're only as good as the people who teach us, right? Like, and that's for parents. If you can get your kid into the best school you can, or if you don't have mentors, or if you don't take the time to sit down and grow someone. So if you're taught this is what a country station's supposed to be, then that's what you do. And then you teach somebody and you teach somebody and you teach somebody. And then every once in a while, there's a guy like you that comes in and shakes the snow globe. Like you're a snow globe shaker. You still love the snow. You still think it's a beautiful village inside, but you shake it up and you make it think differently. So I think that, you know, The fact that she's not traditionally a country artist makes people uncomfortable. But here's something I said to someone. I said, you know, because we're in town for this convention, I said, now it's okay to play Beyonce on country radio. I mean, it's breaking all these records, and it's very special. By the way, let's start with this. The song is really good.
It's got to start with that.
It's got to start with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So the song is really good. And I said, for anybody that's reticent to playing it, I would just say this. If Beyonce walked into that ballroom, every one of those people would line up to get a picture. Everyone. So don't be the hypocrite. Don't be the person that'll do it for the Instagram picture, but not do it for the bigger picture. Play the song.
The thing that I struggle with the most daily, weekly, monthly, in this format, which I love and grew up on, but I was also the Napster kid.
Right.
So as much as country music was the Arkansas music, and my grandmother raised me on even traditional, which I don't even know what current, like contemporary country was until later.
Right.
I was still a Napster kid, so I had every influence. So it's almost that first generation, even in like, I'm doing a project coming up the next couple months with Malcolm Gladwell, who wrote Outliers. And
Blink.
Yeah. So big fan of him. And in Outliers specifically, you know, when Bill Gates lived in a town where there was a computer, he wouldn't have been Bill Gates if there wasn't,
that's
that computer
right.
wasn't in that town. Like, luckily, that environment worked out with the person that was accepting of it and pushed. And the next thing you know, we have somebody who's changing media. I think I'm very fortunate to have been birthed in a time that allowed me to be on the front side of digital media, but where I was really curious. I was consumed by, we don't have to live in this artistic box that we've been delivered in. Mm-hmm. But I'm very fortunate. The same way Bill Gates was fortunate, he had a computer in his town. Like the only one for miles and miles and miles. I got to be at the age where I had digital media first. And because of that, I have all of these different influences and from my most influential years. Mm-hmm. And so the one consistent thing has been other people my age or younger, regardless of where they grew up, country, hip hop, pop, they've all been influenced by everything too.
Right.
So the standard has been in this format, which again, I know and love, and I've dedicated my last 15 years to it.
Right.
That anybody who comes over here must be a carpetbagger, because why weren't they here originally?
Right.
If that's the case, I'm a carpetbagger in a way, because even though I grew up on country music and my first radio, where I begged to get a job at US 97, they wouldn't hire me. And I did pop, but on my pop stations, I would put country artists on. But to them, because I wasn't completely, I'm a carpetbagger. However, the thing I said with Beyonce was, one, if we're going to say to be country, you've had to always be country, then there's a lot of people that if you're not a black artist coming over on a slave ship with a makeshift banjo, or if you're not a European with a basic fiddle, and the combination of those is what influenced the South and the Southern, then you're not country.
Right.
So all you white dudes who have your goatee and your sunglasses are yelling at me, that ain't country. Well, if you want to keep going back, if we want to go back to the actual creation of country music, you ain't country.
That's right.
Secondly, I think also there is a problem. And I can understand this problem, and I understand why people feel this way, because I feel it too. If somebody is not succeeding in a genre and they go, I'm just going to go and do country because it's not working for me there, I can understand being insulted by that, because, we're your...
Is it the easier format?
We're your second place.
Okay.
Where you think you can, because you can't make it where you did make it. Now you're just going to come over and think you can just succeed over here where we are.
Right.
To me, that's not so much about art, but it's like, oh, you think you can't be the governor of Minnesota, so you're going to move to Arkansas and run, try to be the governor because you think we're idiots?
Right.
So my point with Beyonce was, she doesn't have to do that. She's doing it on her own. She's never been bigger.
Never.
Yet she still wants to do country-infused music. And some of the music that is considered country now, and I could go back, and I've been in a couple documentaries where I talk about music, even if you go back to like Bob Wills, who is traditional, like extremely, he was the first guy that ever amplified a steel guitar, an electric steel guitar. That's not country. Well, now it's
yeah.
The first time they made an electric guitar. You can go to the greats who have all been told you're not country. Generally, the people that aren't country and make it are the ones that reset country. So people that yell, hey, your country music, this is, I like traditional country. At one point, that traditional
was not traditional.
Was Beyonce today.
That's right.
And I've been lucky enough to sit with these artists who have been told that and actually have, just Garth, for example. Everybody, Garth's the greatest. Garth wasn't country, according to 80% of country music for a while, because how he was doing his concerts. So I've often said, the people that say that something's not country, they almost have to exist. But if everything stayed the same, country music would die. If everything stayed traditional, country music would die. Any art. I just happen to be in this one. And that ain't country. It's annoying as crap. But if it didn't happen, I don't think the format would be able to progress. Like, so I was upset with the Beyonce thing, and I got a lot of offers to go and do all these TV shows. But I found that going on when somebody else controls the narrative and you're talking about race, that's tricky, because they'll cut your promo. And as a white dude, I'm just like, I'm going to talk about it on mine.
Right.
But I'm super happy that now people are being way more understanding of black artists, female artists, bands, anything that's not considered traditional country for now, because it's going to be traditional country in 10 years. And history is going to be on the side of the same side it's always been on, progression.
Well, you know, you talked about being the Napster kid, and you talked about being the Bill Gates situation, where if he didn't live in that town, there wouldn't be.
Sure.
I actually think that you and I, because we're roughly the same age,
mm-hmm.
you and I are going to be bringing children into the world, people that are younger now. They're going to laugh at us, dude. They're going to laugh at us and go, you told somebody what a genre was?
Right.
That's offensive. You told someone how they had to feel about something? That's it. They're going to look back, and you and I are supposedly the outliers, right? The disruptors, the rule breakers. Even us, compared to where the world will be, which is a beautiful thing, by the way, they'll laugh.
It's very Socratic, I'll say, because we're so smart. We know we're not that smart.
Right.
Like, I have no confidence that I know anything about art. I have confidence that eventually my sensibilities will get me to a spot that I realize I don't know, so I'm going to trust what I can find out. I like that about me. I'm not afraid to mess up. I don't like being sued. I don't like costing my company money. Right. That sucks. But I mess up all the time, right? There is no absolute science to art, and I feel like what we're doing is a bit of allowing things to be artistic, mm-hmm. and giving a space. Why are you still doing this?
Because I believe that there's still a lot more to do. Like I believe that I was put here to push people, grow people, challenge people, help people. I believe that there's got to be somebody. I'll give you an example. If I would have said to you 10, 12 years ago, here's what's going to happen. We're all going to start buying vinyl again, and we're going to put turntables in our house, and it's going to be cool. We would have said to each other, we'd have done the whole podcast on why that's never going to happen.
Sure.
Right? And so I think that radio can have that vinyl renaissance moment. We just have to do it by doing things that aren't traditional. Because if we're going to push it forward, and we're going to evolve it, we're going to transform it, we can have the nostalgia, i.e. the vinyl, but we have to do more. We have to stop, you know, telling people that things are not AI, admitting that phone calls might not be exactly who you think they are on the phone.
Except ours are, everybody.
Everyone on the...
I swear to God, we didn't have the budget. We'd have probably bought some back in the day if we could. Right. If we just had to get good at... None of ours are fake, for the record, because we didn't have the budget, and now it's like, I'll just get caught. But yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think that was the coolest thing about AI with you, was you were very transparent about it. But that's also what brought... That's what brought the thunder to you as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Is your transparency.
Yeah.
Do you have an out? Do you have an absolute out you need to leave by?
No.
Okay, cool. Because we've actually gone long, but I have a couple more things
sure.
that I'd like to ask of you.
The Bobby Cast. We'll be right back.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short sleeve moisture wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
This is the Bobbycast.
Give me a brief recap of your media history. Like, where did you start? Where have you moved to? Has your life been a bit nomadic radio-wise? Just walk me through that.
Yeah, so grew up in Michigan. Grew up in a little city called Buchanan, Michigan, which you would have never heard of, except the very microphone that you're talking into is made in Buchanan, Michigan.
Is it a big factor? I mean, is that...
Yeah, it was an Electro-Voice factory.
They have a lot of jobs. Is that a big part of the...
It's not there anymore. So it was just there when I was a kid. But on the microphones, they still say it, which is kind of crazy that we're speaking into it as we sit here. And so I went on a Cub Scout tour to that microphone factory, and it led me to wanting to learn more about
it. Is that right?
That's how it happened.
You
a Cub Scout tour.
I thought it was just like, hey, my town's known for this. No, you went to it.
Yeah.
Saw the microphones and had an interest.
Yeah.
What was your interest?
Storytelling. You know, I loved storytelling. I grew up on Chicago radio, even though I grew up in Michigan. I was near the lake, so all the signals would bounce off the water. And so I was exposed to Chicago radio in the 80s, which was just incredible and huge. And I remember like now, you know, parents say, well, your phone has to be off by 9 o'clock. You know, I'm gonna put a timer on your phone so it turns off. To me, that was my parents walking in going, you need to turn the radio off. 10 o'clock, you have school tomorrow. So I've always been drawn to it. And so I just started doing the same thing you did, city to city, format to format, day part to day part. So I think I went, let's see if I can do this by memory. Michigan.
Did you ever work at home?
I did. I worked at home. So I worked at the radio station by my childhood home. It was probably 17, 18. I was making $3.15 an hour. So I had to work at AutoZone during the daytime. Shout out to AutoZone. Get in the zone. And that was paying like $7. Right?
That's funny. Yeah.
And I remember my friends were like, dude, you make more than twice as much at AutoZone. So I would go to do that. And then I'd go to the radio station. And then I'd go sleep for 4 or 5 hours. And I would do it over again and over again. So I was still in mom and dad's house like doing that. So Went from Michigan to Alabama to Indiana to New York to Florida, back to Indiana to like buy radio stations. That's something I never thought was going to be a thing. And then off to this corporate role in Portland, where now I'm in, you know, 44 markets.
Do you like living in Portland?
I liked it better 10 years ago.
Why is that?
It was different. We didn't have the drug problem. We didn't have the fentanyl crisis.
Sure.
Portland rioted for 218 straight nights.
Did it feel unsafe?
It did. Yeah. In fact, I was living right downtown. I lived in the part you want to live in, right? I was living in an area called the Pearl District, which was, you know, one of the better areas. And I just was like, it's loud. It feels unsafe. Mm. I didn't feel like I personally was unsafe. Like, I've lived in worse neighborhoods, especially coming up in the radio business. You know, I go back to like where I lived in Detroit, and I'm like, wow, I really lived in a bad neighborhood. So I didn't feel that I was unsafe. But having kids, I was like, they can't be around here. I remember my son at the time, he would have been probably seven, eight. And he said, Dad. I said, yeah. He goes, maybe say the next time we go somewhere, we can go without tents and spray paint. Mm. And I was like, wow, without tents and spray paint. So I still go downtown to our Portland office. I still love it. I still believe that the city can rebound. But it's got a lot of work to do. It's got a lot of work to do.
Who do you report to at Alpha Media?
I report to our CEO and our COO.
Oh, you go right up.
Yeah, man.
You right to the top. And do you have they been consistent as far as been the same people since you've been there?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. I've been very lucky at iHeart that my CEO and CFO are the same people.
Yeah.
The entire time. And there is, to me, I'm comfortable, even if I mess up, even if they're mad, I'm comfortable, but that I know how consistent they are and what their expectations are and that I can text them.
Yeah.
And I'm their guy. It's like a head football coach. If that changes,
do you change teams?
Sometimes you go in and you're the quarterback, but you're not that guy's guy. And even though you're pretty good, they want their own guy in there. Mm-hmm. So it's given me confidence to have this some consistency on top.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way with your guys? Like, what are they? One may be female. I just say guys in general.
Yeah.
Do you feel that they give you a landing space to sometimes veer off and mess up, as long as you get back on?
Yeah, that's so funny you bring that up. They said that to me last night. We're talking about being bold. We're talking about taking risks. We're talking about transformation. It doesn't feel like they keep a scorecard, which is a blessing. Like, you know, I don't get told, hey, remember when you came up with that idea to put Bobby in San Francisco? You know, like that. I don't get those speeches. They're just sweet and they listen. But I would say to anybody, whether it's where I work or whether if you work at Wells Fargo or you work at, you know, Toyota, your job as a leader is to educate, convince, and prove. And as long as you're doing that, you know, it doesn't matter what business you're in. And my COO and CEO have always let me take chances. And I appreciate that probably more than they know.
Would you want to do that job? Maybe not specifically in that. You're not trying to kick them out.
Right.
It's not Game of Thrones. You're not
right.
But would you want to be a CEO of a media company?
Sure.
Would you want to be a CEO of a company that is mostly radio?
No. No, I would want to be a CEO of a company that's many platforms. I think that audio is this place I want to be. Digital is a place I want to be. I think they're the same thing, by the way.
So do I. I think radio is anything on the phone.
That's right.
Like, yeah. I often say, yeah, radio, and they're like, well, what? And I'm like, you know what? You can get it anywhere.
Anyway,
there's 19 ways to listen to whatever you want to hear, and or me or whomever.
Yeah.
So radio to me, when I say that, it is audio.
Audio.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, anything in the audio space I would want to do. But then I also would say, you know, just like you're doing here today, the audio has to have a visual component. You know, you think about like your friends, like everybody has that one friend where all they want to do is talk about sports or politics or whatever. They're not your best friend. You know why they're not your best friend? Because they're one-dimensional. They only talk to you about that one thing. You have that one friend you go party with. You have that one friend you go golf with. I want to be somebody's best friend. So that means that you have to be able to hear it. You have to be able to see it. You have to be able to meet them. You have to be able to touch them. And they should be everywhere. So, you know, my thing is, if I were to ever do this, I would want to be able to reach any audience anywhere.
When you say meet them, touch them, I feel like I know people I don't even know.
Why?
Because I spend a lot of time with them. Like, there are people, media personalities, mm-hmm. Podcasters. I've never met Big Cat, who does Pardon My Take, who it's a sports podcast, but they've been doing it forever. They were one of the first big ones. I mean, never met him. Don't have ever been in the same place as him, but I feel like I know him. And like, I'm a fan, but it's also like, it's kind of like my friend, but he doesn't know that.
Right.
And sometimes I need to remind myself that I'm that to some people.
You are.
Because Big Cat has no idea I exist. But like, I look forward to that blue dot up there because that means there's a new episode.
Yeah.
To hear when his team lost. And it's not about breaking down scores, but sometimes I need to be reminded as a consumer what people's expectation is of me. It is to exist, be compelling and transparent, and they have a relationship and a loyalty until I'm not good enough, and then their loyalty goes somewhere else. And that's okay because I do that too.
Right.
I was, and two more things and I'll be done. I was loading the dishwasher a minute ago, which I know you're going to go like, what? You load the dishwasher? Not often, but I do.
Okay.
And so I was loading the dishwasher like 20 minutes before you got over to the house. And I don't do it a lot, but the dishes were piled up and my wife was asleep. And I was like, I'm going to make this a little easier for her today. And they just wouldn't go in. The bowls would not go into the bottom rack as clean as like they used to at the house we lived before. I was like, I think they go on the top rack here. But every time I kept putting the bowls in the bowl, just instinct. My instinct was get the bowl, put it on the bottom rack. I was like, oh yeah, put it back on the top. That's a habit I've had forever since I was loading the dishwasher as a kid. Because I used to load the dishwasher and do all the dishes at the house. And the bottom rack was always bowls and plates. And up there, I kept putting the bowls and plates on the bottom rack. Even when I knew I wasn't supposed to, but it took me to do it like 5 or 6 or 7 times to then naturally grab the bowl and put it on the top plate. My goal in media is to hopefully thump people enough, because I'm not going to change their habit the first 6 times they try to put their bowl on the bottom. But if I can just be there enough where they're like, God dang it, I have to remember to put that bowl on the top, wherever it is. If it's a short form video, long form video, if it's podcast, if it's video, if I can be, then I can then be the top freaking rack. And I know I'm not going to get everybody to come to me immediately, but I just need to be just exist so much that they remember, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though I always do this, I want to change and go over here because it's better for me. And that dishwasher, that analogy is the stupidest one I've ever had, but it is hard to change a habit. And the only way to change it is to just be there and hopefully through the understanding of, hey, this might be better. Mm-hmm. You can win that way. My dishwasher taught me a big lesson again today. I'm not loading the dishes again for a long time, but habits are almost impossible to change, but they can be changed if you get in the way enough and do a good enough job. And that is kind of what you're saying about being in multiple places. No one's going to hear one podcast of mine and be automatically a subscriber and listen to every episode.
Right.
And I do have friends I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I can feel like I touch them even though I don't. And that is, you don't have to literally touch me, hopefully, for people to feel like they know me.
Right.
But I just really look up to how you see things. And we'll end this on the first part of the, because I've gone way over my time I thought I was going to take with you. If people listen to this now that are in radio or in podcasting or doing a bit of both, and they may feel like there's nothing for them, there's no money, there's no opportunity, they're in a market they've been in and they can't get out because they have whatever's holding them down. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that if you're not getting the result you want for something, whether it's in your personal life, your professional life, your romantic life, your business life, there's usually only about 4 things that are holding it back. Either you're working with someone that doesn't understand, doesn't think it's important, doesn't see what's in it for them, and doesn't realize why it matters to you. It's really only those 4 things. So I tell people, figure out which one of those 4 things are the block and work on that one thing.
What if you have a boss? It's like, I believe you should just be, you have 19 seconds. Mm-hmm. I need you to talk over a song. This is a bit old school, but still happens a lot of places, and people feel trapped.
Yeah.
And that's, you got to do that because by doing that, you don't really win
right.
Because they don't take your value because they think they've got you in a place.
Yeah.
And your 19 seconds isn't what's making ratings stay high. It's just keeping ratings from going low.
Right.
So then how can you move up if they don't believe you're the reason that it's happening? Well, because there are a lot of folks in that position. What do you say to that?
I would say to them, take the job they have to build the job you want. Like, look at your career. You were doing things at a certain point, maybe a certain market, certain format, certain day part, where you're like, not ideal, but I'll take the job they have to build the job I want. And it's also okay to break up with a job. You know, we spend so much time thinking that we're defined by what it is we do. You're allowed to say, this isn't a match for me. No different than someone you're dating. Or why do you go to this restaurant? It's just not a match for what I want to eat tonight. So I would say, you know, get in somewhere so you're in somewhere, but know that it's not a long-term relationship. You have to stay in forever. And if it's not fulfilling for you, it's okay to break up with a job. I would say that to anybody. It's okay to do it until you don't, because we don't get a lot of time here, you know? And so why are you going to give your time, energy, life, love, emotions to something that doesn't fulfill you? You can do it enough to get going. And if you have to work at AutoZone for a minute.
I was going to say the AutoZone. That's exactly what I was about to say. Like, it's okay to work at AutoZone.
It's okay.
Because if you work at AutoZone enough, you can actually, whatever the job is that you're working at AutoZone, if you're doing music, you're doing radio, like, that AutoZone may actually propel you to be able to do what you want to do forever.
Yeah.
It might suck real bad for a minute.
I remember a guy saying to me, I knew it was back, you know, when I was making literally no money. And I remember thinking, man, I need to get into my overtime because then I'll make a little more money. And so I looked at my check one day, and none of my overtime was in there. And so I walked into the business manager at this operation, and I said, hey, I noticed that none of my overtime is in my check. Which, by the way, at that point in my life, like, I needed that. That was, you know. And they said to me, do you like working here? And they took their glasses off, and I picked up on the body language, and I walked out. And I kept working there until I didn't have to. So, you know, if you're being asked to, you know, say, do this for 19 seconds, fine. But in addition,
yeah,
come find someone like me that wants to help you.
Like, crush it for 19 seconds.
Crush it for 19 seconds.
Be the greatest freaking 19 seconder they've ever heard of.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to do other things. Mm-hmm. That's all. You're the best. We're going to do a whole other thing. We're going to flip it here in a second. But again, my dream world would just be you telling me what to do every day.
Man, if I could only get my wife and kids to say that. Man, dude, that's the hack right there.
It is. But then I'm like, I don't even want to tell her what to do because I would tell her wrong and then she'd be, I wouldn't have you know, we talk about that landing.
Yeah.
I'd mess up a few times and she'd be like, I'm not going to let you do this anymore. She tells me what to do. She's pretty accurate, my wife is.
Okay.
How does your wife do with you being in media?
You know, she's good. She's really good about it. She, I remember, though, it was our very first date.
How long have you been married?
Been married for about a year and a half.
Okay.
Together for about 8.
Okay.
And I remember on our first date, she said, you know, general stuff. You know, what do you do? Where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. And she goes, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I work in radio. She goes, oh, that's old school. And I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, those were the unfiltered first dates that you get, you know? And so... you know, I think that in a lot of ways, she's made me better at what I do because I'm like, I don't want anyone to ever say what he does is old school. Like, I thought my difference maker was that I wasn't old school. So, you know, I think that pushes me. You know, she'll ask me, though, too, like, because we do this for a living. She's like, are we going to watch the Wendy Williams documentary tonight? You know, or was that a thing? Or you know, she's like, are we going to, she'll say, oh, I saw that, you know, George Soros is going to gather a bunch of money and buy a bunch of radio stations. What does that mean? And so she's into it, but she's an attorney. So she's doing like smart stuff.
It's like my wife. She does the exact opposite. And sometimes it's very frustrating but more times than not, it's the elixir that I need to have an understanding of what isn't important. And also what people that aren't all the way in and how they feel about things and what they use.
Yeah. So she's the best, and I thank her for the tolerance and never complains. Like, You know, if I say I'm in Nashville for 3 days, she's like, have a great time. You know, I told my son I was going to see you. He goes, yeah, I watch him on National Geographic.
Oh, yeah.
So you're on the Disney app as the kids are scrolling around. So
I'm very, very injured from that National Geographic.
Are you? Yes,
all my body parts from that show. Okay, we're going to stop this version of it. So we'll save this. You guys, it's Philosophy, Phil Becker Media. And if you're like, why would I follow somebody who's like an executive in media, his socials aren't really that.
Nope.
If anything, it's you giving human perspective, talking about media, talking about how to turn disadvantage into the opposite or equalize disadvantage or how that is. So I sometimes will just message you and be like, that's awesome. Or I'll just share your stuff. I don't share much of anybody's stuff. It's not even about you working in the same business as I am. At Phil Becker. All right. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they will last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. Visit Tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. And don't go gently, y'all.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.